Welcome to Takeoff, a Points and Miles podcast by 10X Travel. I am your host, Travis, and today I'm joined, as usual, with Matt and Emily. How Hello. Is everyone's February going? I had to look at the calendar.
Weird and warm. That's all.
My February is going great. I'm spending a lot of time watching the Winter Olympics.
Oh, yeah.
Which is very timely.
Yeah.
Well, what's timely your... the time of recording and about maybe kind of what we're talking about today, but
that is true. Yeah.
Yes.
Well, Italy Olympics theme.
Yeah, exactly.
Man, what's been your favorite sport to watch?
I'm a huge curling fan, so I literally just watch curling all the time during the Winter Olympics and outside of the Winter Olympics, but like not as much, but I really enjoy it, so.
You watch, like, there's places to watch curling when it's not the Olympics?
Yeah, they have, they don't play just curl, like, every 4 years. There's, like, world championships and other stuff, you know?
They just come out of hibernation once every four years.
Yeah. Is there a, like, curling streaming service where you can exclusively watch curling?
Peacock will, like, NBC streaming will have it a decent amount. I mean, it's not, like, every day. You know, they'll do, like, they may do, like, two or three events a year. It's not a ton, but. There are ones that are available. So when those are available, I'll watch them sometimes. So,
have you ever tried curling?
Kind of. There's actually a curling center in Charlotte near where I live, and I've said for years I just need to go. Yeah. And I just never have. But we went to this hotel in Chicago a couple years ago, and they had curling set up during the winter. It on like the rooftop patio, and it was super cool. It wasn't on ice. It was on like a I don't know, like a fiberglass board, like fake ice essentially. So like it was cool, and it was, I don't know, 20 feet long. So it wasn't quite the same experience, but it was basically like duck bowling instead of bowling, you know?
Right.
Close, but not the same.
I learned last night that they have to slide it. It's like a 45 meter long track, which is really long.
No, it is far, which it makes it even more surprising at how precise they are. I mean, if you watch them line up, they're calling where they want things to be rolled, like within a couple inches, because you have to hit at certain angles to cause havoc or get what you want to happen from, like far away. So, no, it's fascinating.
Yeah.
Just don't cheat like the Canadians.
There's been a lot of that going on.
Sticky finger.
Yeah. There is also a curling center near me, and I have have also been saying for the 4 years that I've lived here, like, gotta go. I also recently learned that what are they called? The things that you curl?
The rock?
The rock, yeah.
Yeah.
Like a set of those is like $15,000.
Yeah, they're expensive.
If you
expensive.
Want like an Olympic quality... Yeah.
They're expensive. And I saw a thing the other day, and I'm blanking on where, but there's like a particular island where the ones for the Olympics come from, only the island because it's a specific type of granite, you know, and it meets something. But I don't know. It was kind of crazy.
Well, I did just find the Curling Club of Houston. So.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go.
Homework for the week. Go curling.
Yeah.
Well,
what kind of curls? These kind of curls? Yeah. No, I'm just kidding. Sorry, wrong curling.
Today's episode, I promise, is not meant to be about curling, but it's relevant because we're here to talk about getting to Italy in business class at a fraction of the cash costs. And right now, at the time of recording, I don't know when they end. I haven't been keeping up with the Olympics. They are happening in Milano Cortina. Clearly, I have not been watching them. And while this episode would be way too late for you to get to Italy for the Olympics, like, there's other reasons to go. There's other reasons to go to Italy. There's pasta and wine and history and museums. So if you were only hoping to go because of the Olympics, there's other reasons. And we hope today to be able to help you understand some ways to get your flights there. Planning your flights with points is usually the biggest holdup with going somewhere. You know, there's so many hotels in Italy.
Yeah.
Plus, Airbnbs, there's only so many flights. And even then, within those flights, there's only so many award seats. And those award seats get even smaller if you're looking to book in business class. So today, we're going to break down the best ways to use points and miles from the U.S. Sorry for any of our non-U.S. listeners. This is specifically from the U.S. to Italy, including routes, partner options, whatever you need to know. But of course, as always, we talked about the Olympics, Winter Olympics, but we still got to break the ice.
Oh. Okay.
So, Emily, have you been to Italy or just me and Matt?
No, I studied abroad in Rome, but I haven't done it on points. So,
well, so you're probably the most experienced person here then, because you were here there for a significant amount of time.
Oh.
I was, but I was also like 20.
And
so it's been a while. It's been a while.
Well, then for today's icebreaker, you have to choose. If you could only go to one place in Italy, where would you go?
Cinque Terre.
Okay, why?
Well, again, it's been a while since I went there, but at the time it was kind of like the less crowded version of the Amalfi Coast. So for that reason, I would go there. It's very like, it means five towns, but it's very like walkable. You can do like cool hikes to get from one town to the next. Beautiful beaches, water views. That's where I'd go.
Nice. Nice. Matt, I'm going to let you go because I have a feeling that we've got the same answer, but
it's complicated. I'm a huge fan of Stanley Tucci's show that he did a couple years ago called Searching for Italy. I don't know if you guys have seen that. Man, you haven't seen it, Travis? I'm surprised. I think you would love it as a foodie. The premise is that he starts going through all the different regions of Italy, and it's a Anthony Bourdain inspired type travel. I mean, it's a lot of like prearranged stuff, but so it's not more off the cuff like that, but exploring like all the different regions by their food and culture and all that kind of stuff. So it's super cool. I really like that show. So like, it makes it hard to choose just one because Italy has all these different regions and like cool spots, and it's a big country and
it's
totally
huge.
Different culture top to bottom. And then all throughout. So that's a long-winded way of saying I'm not sure and it's complicated. But our next place we want to go is the Dolomites, which is so super northern Italy up in the Alps, right above Lake Como and stuff like that. So I'm going to give that answer just because we want to go there. I don't know when it's happening, but hopefully soon. That'll kind of complete that area for us because we've spent time in the Alps right there in Switzerland, France, Germany, Austria. Italy's kind of the only one. We've been to Lake Como, so it's like kind of at the foot of the Alps. I'm not sure people would consider it in the Alps, but
yeah,
it's the runoff.
We get all the snow melt makes a beautiful lake down there that I also thoroughly enjoyed, and that's where Travis probably thought I was going to say.
That is where I thought you were going to say, and it's funny because Maria really wants to do the Dolomites.
Wow,
there's a really snazzy Marriott there.
Oh, now I need to look at it.
Yeah, I need to find it.
This is like the fourth time I've opened since we started.
Make sure you book it before you.
I know. I think it's a Marriott. Maybe it's not. More soon on that. It might be a different brand. I can't remember. Okay. This is my problem with like thinking live stream. It just half the time it doesn't make sense or is completely wrong. So,
well, we can just all stop talking while you figure it out.
Oh,
Four minutes.
Yeah. No, we're good.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. Mine definitely is Lake Como. I'm going to pick somewhere that I've been before. We went last summer and just really fell in love with it. It's just so cool to get to hop from little town to little town, go explore by boat the entire lake, which is just absolutely massive. Just really felt like a fantastic, nice, for us, summer getaway to get away from the heat of Texas. It's much cooler there. And just Maria is also asking to go back. And I'm sure when we do the Dolomites, it'll have to be a double stacked trip.
Yeah.
The only downside that I have with Lake Como and Northern Italy in particular, the food's not as good as Southern Italy. I mean, like the Southern Italian food is what you know and expect with Southern or with Italy in general. And it's not that the food's not good. It's just, it's not the same. It's really not the same in the North as it is in the South. It's still fantastic, but you know, you got the food, you've got a number of the wineries down around Florence and Tuscany, and that's hard to compete with, but the vibes of Lake Como are awesome, and it's not far for them to ship the wine, at least.
I'm glad they worked that out for you.
So, if you're going to Italy, like, what makes Italy such a great award destination? Other than, you know, we did an episode in the past of Italy versus Japan, and I advocated hard for Emily. But
for me...
Yeah. Emily, for you, what makes it such a great award destination?
Oh, I thought you were saying you were advocating for Emily. And I was like, interesting.
I was like, what
I just thought Emily was going to like take over there.
No, you're good.
No, you said you advocated hard for Emily. And I was like, did you mean Italy?
Yeah. Oh, wow. Yes, I meant Italy.
Did we have a previous competition about Emily or Italy that I was not aware of?
Should you go visit Emily or should you go to Japan? I mean, I'm sorry, Emily. Tough. I think most people are going to pick Japan.
That's fair.
God, this is such a professional operation. I swear.
This is the content that you all keep coming back for.
Yeah.
You know what? So that way I can move on from making fun of myself and everyone teasing me for that blunder. Like, here's what I love about Italy. For a country its size, it's so diverse, right? Yep. You've got the south, you've got beaches, you've got some islands off the coast whose name I'm forgetting, Sardinia?
Sardinia, yep.
Yeah, which I haven't been to. It's also on my radar. The food between the south and the north. Of course, you've got the lakes up in the north, kind of like the Finger Lakes up in upstate New York, only you're in Italy.
Right.
But you've also got the mountains and snow if you want to go skiing. So it's just such a ignoring the history and all of that. And it really just is such a diverse place where you can find something that's going to work for you as a traveler. Or like if you're just trying to squeeze in a few different types of trips in one, you can without even leaving the same country.
Yeah.
That's to me what draws so many people, myself included, to Italy time and time again. It's one of only two European countries I've been to more than once, France being the other one.
Yeah, that says a lot.
Yeah.
For you in particular.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I agree with all those reasons. I mean, I also think just from a booking perspective, there's so many different ways to get there. There's a number of different airports to fly into to kind of expand your options when you're looking for flights. So I think that's another reason why people find it appealing as an award points and miles destination. So, I mean, makes it easy to find what you're looking for, although it does depend on when you're trying to travel there, because lots of people are trying to do the same.
I kind of mentioned it before earlier in the open when I was talking about like the Stanley Tucci thing and how that I really enjoyed that. It's just a good a representation of all kind of what you're saying, Travis, all the different cultures and microcultures in Italy. Northern Italy cannot be more different than Southern Italy, but then all the different regions and stuff in between, you can literally go 100 miles and feel like you're a totally different place. People, food, culture, all the kinds of things. So that, to me, that's super fun to explore. So with all that being said, I mean, Italy, I don't know if you've looked at it on a map, but like it's a huge country lengthwise. I mean, they call it the boot for a reason, like it's super long. So the chances of taking one trip and like doing Italy are very few and far between versus other smaller countries in Europe. So like it's a destination that you can visit multiple times. I know plenty of people that have been multiple times and still haven't. Would not say that they've done Italy. They've said they've been there, but they have not like completed it. So that's kind of fun, just the land of opportunity, really. And part of that is that I am intrigued and interested by is the transportation and logistics in Italy are fantastic. Like you can get around such a big place by train, super, super easy. Like you're probably not going to fly intra Italy once you get there. I mean, if you're going from Milan down to Palermo or something, okay, fine, you're going to fly. But, you know, generally speaking, if you're going to hop around from Rome to Milan to Florence to Venice, all those kinds of things, you're likely just going to either drive or take a train versus flight. And obviously that's so different than how we do it here in the US, but that, and the, you know, that sort of leans more into just European travel logistics in general, but that makes it super easy to kind of go spend a few days in and around all these different sort of cultures and regions, which makes it just super fun for exploration.
Yeah, I Googled like Italy overlaid with Texas, and it's basically the same height. Like driving from the southern point of Texas to the northern point is like the same as driving from the southern point of Italy to the northern point of Texas, which is kind of crazy.
Yeah.
That's wild. In the rest of the U.S., we call it height, but I don't know how you, what kind of English you speak down in Texas.
What did I call it?
Heights. The silent H will get you every time. What word starts with an H and ends with an H? Heights.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
Oh, I'm just queuing. Right, so, I'm just queuing myself up to get obliterated at some point here. I know it. It's fine. I'm ready for it.
Now, you're so tuned, dialed in and on your game that, like, you probably did some of those, like, Sally sells seashells by the seashore before we started recording.
I'm much more refined. I'm a How Now Brown Cow kind of guy.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay. So the meat of this episode is not so much like about what to do in Italy, where to stay. It's important to frame that, but really we're here to share with you like how to get there. That's the hardest part, although maybe not quite as hard as it might seem. Doing some research and preparation for this episode, I learned there's actually 42 city pairs between the US and Italy to fly to, some of those with like multiple daily departures, right? So like Newark to Rome counts as one, but there might be four or five flights between Newark and Rome. That's not even counting JFK flights as well. So like that's a lot of options, and it actually splits out pretty evenly between each of the major airline alliances. Star Alliance has the least city pairs with 13. Oneworld comes in second at 14, and SkyTeam is 15. So the nice thing is that diverse option so spread out means you're not relying on just one alliance to really have availability. Take, and I'm just pulling an example out of thin air here, but like take Germany, which is pretty dominated by Lufthansa and United. Like, yes, you've got some SkyTeam and you've got some Oneworld flights there as well. But like, if you're wanting to go to Germany, Star Alliance is definitely going to be one of your better options. Having it so evenly spread means just because you don't find a word availability on one of them doesn't mean that you'll be completely out of luck. You can spread across all three alliances, especially if you're willing to reposition, or one of my favorite ways, like do a layover in Europe, can really make Italy more accessible. Because even if you can't find anything on one of those 42 city pairs, you can fly to places like Germany, which has 45 city pairs with the US, and France, which has 36, and Paris, Munich, Frankfurt, kind of your major hubs for France and Germany, are all only about like 1 to 2 hour flights to most places in Italy. You can do the train as well, which is going to be like 6 to 12 hours, depending on where you're going. But that's like one of the nice things about Europe is repositioning within Europe, and Italy being such close proximity to two of the other major countries within there could potentially open up almost 100 city pair options to get you there. And that can seem a little overwhelming if you're trying to do your award searches yourself. So shameless plug for our award booking service. If you want someone else to do that work for you, feel free to check out our award booking service, where they're pretty used to looking for stuff to Italy and know which routes really are going to give you the best chances. But otherwise, like, you got like 100 options there. So hopefully you should be able to find something.
Yeah. You know, you mentioning repositioning between Germany and Italy reminded me of when I studied abroad there. I went from Rome to Oktoberfest, and I took a bus.
Oh, nice.
It was like 12 hours on a bus coming back after like spending multiple days just drinking gigantic steins of beer. And everyone else was like college student, just ready to be asleep. And
it was the hangover bus.
It was the hangover bus for sure. And talk about something I would not do at this point in my life. That's we're done with that journey.
But at least you experienced it. So if you're not going to Oktoberfest and then taking a bus to Italy, like Emily, how words are you thinking?
How am I getting to Italy?
Like what would you be looking at? What would you advise people to look at?
Yeah. Well, I kind of approached it from like realistically, what am I going to take from my home airport, or where am I willing to reposition from? So one of the first things that I looked at was United, because there's a relatively new nonstop flight on United from Denver to Rome. But they know what they have. Like everything that I looked at, it was priced at 200,000 points per person in business class. I mean, I didn't even get past peak season, but I just couldn't find a single one that was priced at something that I would pay. So that's kind of tough. And that quickly knocks out my only nonstop option. But when I was looking through the availability on United, there were lots of other options with layovers for around 80,000 points per person in business. Mainly the ones that I was seeing were with a stop in Zurich, actually, on Edelweiss Air. I have no idea how the...
You have to sing it like The Sound of Music. Come on.
Do I? Okay.
Yeah, you do. Show us how it's done.
No. I think you got it.
I don't quite remember the tune.
But I'm down to pay that much for a layover. There are other options that I would look into first, but at least there were some reasonably priced options there. The next one that I kind of was looking at was Flying Blue, because I've done that to get to Europe before, and there's decent availability out of Denver, either through Paris or through Amsterdam. And it was kind of tough going looking through all the summer availability for business class, but I did find one for 60,000 points per person.
There you go.
In business, which had a layover in Paris. So when you consider some of the transfer bonuses to Air France, Flying Blue, they also do a lot of the promo offers. They announce new ones each month. So depending on what those are, you can knock a pretty decent chunk off of that price. But they're dynamically priced on a lot of them. So I was scouring through 700,000 points per person.
That's crazy.
Where are they? Where are they getting these ideas?
My beef with Flying Blue is that they've snuck up on the taxes and fees over the last couple of years. I mean, I don't know that you can book a round trip business class ticket for less than like $400 in taxes and fees now, which is just super annoying. They've definitely done a great job of making tons of availability and at reasonable price, like the 60K. Awesome. Kudos. Love it.
Yeah.
It's just that other little part that hangs there off the end. It's like, oh, it's still here's 60,000 like, points plus probably the cost of an economy ticket just to fly up front.
Yeah.
Well, I am like, you know, when they redid their program, making it only 50K each way, like they drew us all in. They got us all hooked on Flying Blue and then said, gotcha, now it's going to be 60.
Ding, and ding.
It's still a good deal, especially considering the amount of banks that transfer there, you know, and like, I'd rather fly Air France than Edelweiss. I've never flown Edelweiss, and I'm probably saying Edelweiss incorrectly.
I'll let it slide.
Their new business class looks nice on their A350s, although they're not actually flying it to the US. But like even their old one, it doesn't look bad. It looks more than serviceable for a flight to get across the ocean. And with both of those, like the fact that you can get those connections without adding any extra points really helps just make it easier, right? So you're all on one ticket. You're not really repositioning in the repositioning sense of getting a separate ticket. You're just booking it all on one and getting there. And especially once you're in Europe, like even if it is an economy on that intra-Europe leg, like intra-Europe business class is economy with a middle seat.
Yeah.
like blanked out anyway. So like it really doesn't even matter that much.
Yeah. Yeah. One of the other places I was looking was through Air Canada, which you really got to be careful because the mixed cabin class is outrageous. Yeah.
But you should mention that they do have a filter to exclude mixed cabin. And kudos to them for that. You just have to remember to turn it on.
Right. Yeah. Because a lot of what I was seeing was like, oh, 70K in business class with a layover. And then it's like, oh, well, the long 6%
flights. 6% in business class.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, if you don't know to look for that, you're going to end up paying overpaying for a mostly economy flight. So
yeah, the long haul is going to be the economy one, which is like the one you want in business.
Yeah. The other thing I would say is for me, if I'm going to reposition on my way to Italy, I got to go east. I don't want to go west in the US to make it longer. I mean, but it's a trade-off. It's like, if I can get the business class life flat availability, am I willing to make my trip longer? Maybe. But there's a lot more options from the East Coast.
Like, I'll let you get to the options, but this is one of those where I actually disagree.
Do
you? I don't want the like 6-7 hour flight. Like that is such an awkward amount of time when, especially if you're trying to grab the meal and sleep. I'd rather go to the West Coast and have a 10-11 hour flight instead and know that I'll have a little bit more time to relax and not feel like that stress on the flight.
You want to know what the proper way to do it from the East Coast is? Is to find the like 10,
Florida?
To find the like 9 or 10 p.m. departure so that you get on and go straight to sleep. Nobody likes domestic airline food. Skip the meal, go straight to bed, wake up, you'll have 6 or 7 hours sleep and be ready to tackle the world.
There you go. Yeah, I actually think I put my parents on the next option that I was going to talk about, but this was years ago. So I put them on the Emirates flight from JFK to Milan, and it was like a 10 p.m. departure or something like that. But this was their first time in business class and first time having access to like a nice lounge. So they were like eating and drinking in the lounge.
Yeah. Yeah.
Then they got on the plane where they're so excited, still eating and drinking and not sleeping. And I don't think they slept a wink because they were just like, wow, this is. But as far as that goes for an option, there's a lot of things working against this. I think we've talked about Emirates pretty recently, which is the award rates are higher, the transfer ratios are going down, and there's super high taxes and fees.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think I'm ever going to do that one.
Are the taxes and fees high, even though it's not going through Dubai? Are they still high on that route?
Yeah.
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, yeah. They're still hunting.
It's
like $10.
I was even looking, I was looking at the Fifth Freedom from Mexico City to Barcelona just as like a fun little side option. And I think it's like $1,000 in taxes and fees.
Yeah.
So.
Wow.
Not for
me. And I'm pretty sure that it's the 777 now, not the A380 anymore.
Yeah.
Kind of a bit of a bummer.
Yeah, it is a bit of a bummer. That used to be like, there used to be pretty decent availability for that route too. I'm sure there is now that all those things have negatively impacted it. I'm sure it's wide open booking because nobody wants to pay those prices. But my last one that I'll say, which honestly, I thought about booking, but there's a direct flight on Delta from JFK to Naples, I believe. And if you check out the Delta app and look at what they're pricing it at, it was 495,000 points per person one way. But if you look at Flying Blue, you can book it for 79,000 points per person and $34 in taxes and fees for Delta One. So if you are trying to get to that area of Italy.
What were the dates of that?
Right. I don't know. Can't remember. That's all my research. I think if I had to pick which one I would go for, I'd probably still focus on Flying Blue just because of the favorable rates. I know the taxes and fees are a little higher, but just because of the transfer bonuses usually that are happening and the ability to transfer lots of different types of points into it.
Good option. And like, I love the little cheese crisps that you get on Air France.
Do it for the cheese crisps.
The French know their food.
That's a fact.
Yeah. Yep.
Matt, you got any additional options?
Yeah, I think it's worth noting, we kind of pecked at this earlier in the show, but airports that you'll have entry to from the U.S. are pretty limited in Italy. Milan and Rome are probably the two most popular ones. Then ones like Venice and Naples are going to be kind of secondary ones. I think a lot of those have some seasonal service or volume picks up for seasonal. They may still have some year round. So it's worth noting that just depending on where you're trying to go, that's also kind of why we were talking about earlier too, like just get to Europe. If you can't find the flight into Naples that you want for 70, whatever thousand miles in Delta One that Emily found and won't share her information on, just get across the ocean and then, you know, have a quick hop. So can't stress or reiterate that enough. But with that, there are obviously tons of options program-wise, not necessarily availability, but at least places to look and see what you can find. A few other ones come to mind are Avianca Life Miles. They've got essentially a zone-based award chart. So business is going to be about 63,000 Avianca Life Miles plus taxes. Nice thing about Avianca is that they don't pass along fuel surcharges. And so they are Star Alliance. So it can be a great option for booking Lufthansa or Swiss. In addition, you know, you could still use Aeroplan or United, but Life Miles is another good option too. And they've got a lot of transfer partners too, which makes their points relatively easy to earn. The one sort of negative on Avianca is sort of customer service. If you have essentially anything go wrong or you need anything, like you're kind of on your own. They are sort of notorious for not having great customer service. So factor that in. You might want to just pay an extra 7,000 miles and book it through Aeroplan because Aeroplan has great customer service, at least in my experience. So,
you know, there's another option that you theoretically should be able to book with Avianca or Aeroplan as well that I learned about.
Oh, I'm intrigued.
Ethiopian flies a number of Fifth Freedoms stopping in Rome between the U.S.
I had no clue of that. Where from? New York?
I think Chicago, Atlanta, and D.C.
Wow.
Okay.
I could be wrong on those.
Don't worry.
I had no clue on that.
I know that they do.
Good option.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, it's probably the least exciting option out of all of them.
They've got beds.
But like, yeah. And like, especially if it's on their new A350s, which I don't know if any of those routes are.
Right,
like,
right.
That's a nice seat. And I've only flown their older product and it's fine. Like, it's not exciting, but again, it's a bed.
Yeah, exactly.
And like,
that's
their
a good nugget there. I had no clue.
Their availability tends to be pretty decent as well.
Nice. Another couple options, Virgin Atlantic, some options here sort of across alliances because they have a few sort of one-off partnerships. But alliance-wise, I found a Boston to Rome via SAS, so connecting in Copenhagen for about 75,000 miles and $26. So that was kind of an interesting one. And so, I mean, you know, that could, taxes and fees on some of the other partners, I feel like, are higher, but I was a little surprised to see only $26 there. That's a good one, in my opinion.
Yeah.
And SAS has a decent business class product too. So could be something fun.
Couldn't you theoretically maybe even find like Finnair through there?
Yeah. Helsinki's way up there. Like, I know it's just get across the ocean, but like, I kind of view Scandinavia as like an outlier to that logic. Denmark is right on the cusp for me.
Yeah.
Like, if you're going to Italy, I mean, it's probably a 4-hour flight, 3.5-hour flight from Helsinki to Rome would be my hunch.
So yeah.
I don't know. I haven't looked it up. That's my uneducated guess, but I've done the Finnair flight multiple times. Love it. Every single time I get there, I'm like, God, I forgot how far north Helsinki is.
Yeah, 3 hours and 25 minutes.
There you go.
Rome.
Not too, yeah.
Good
not
guess. Yeah. Off,
and there, yeah. There's not a train either.
No. Well, you know, no. Another one to look into, AA flights, so American Airlines flights, but potentially booked with Alaska Miles. Alaska miles are hard to earn in the grand scheme of things, very limited transfer options. So they are hard to earn, but they, because of that, hold high, high value in the redemption rates. You're looking at 55,000 Alaska miles one way per person for business on most American Airlines routes, if you can find them. So compare that to 70K if you were to try and book the same flights with AA miles head to head. You're coming out, at least on the numbers part of it, a little bit ahead. And American's got a ton of hubs, and they fly from many of their hubs straight into Rome. There might be a few other ones like Milan. There might even be a Florence once, especially some of the seasonal ones. But I know for me, Charlotte, there's a nonstop to Rome. So you've got some options there, which is nice. And American's got a decent product. So
yeah, I flew the Philly to Milan route last summer.
Nice.
I did not book it through Alaska. I booked it through AA. They had a web special. It was only 50,000 points.
There, but
you can't bet on that.
No. Yeah, exactly.
That was just luck.
Yeah, that's a great snag. That's a great snag indeed. So, and then last one is my outlier, trying to mimic, I guess, your Ethiopian nugget that you dropped in here. And I only thought about this because I just booked a very similar flight. But Royal Air Maroc through Alaska Airlines, another oneworld partner. You connect in Casablanca and, go to Africa to get to Europe. But you're on the very northern part of Africa. It's booked at like a 3-hour flight from Casablanca to Rome, if that was your destination. I bet it's like 2.5 hours, wheels up to wheels down. So in a pinch, you're looking at like 7-ish hours from maybe DC or New York, Montreal, something like that, to Casablanca. So it's not that much longer. And I've looked over maybe a couple of weeks and found decent availability. So just another one to keep an eye on.
Well, and especially with Alaska's stopover program.
Exactly.
Like, doing a Morocco and Italy trip sounds crazy cool.
Yeah. Well, we're doing Morocco and Spain in like 3 weeks. So very
close.
Nice. Yeah.
Wow.
So we're staying at the new Park Hyatt Marrakesh. I'm very excited. Ooh. That place looks phenomenal.
How many points per night is that?
I think we booked for 40, 45. Okay. I think it's category 8. I'd have to go back and look. But yeah, pretty excited for it.
Nice. Well, one of the things I want us to hit on for everyone is, Matt seems to have been better at finding some availability through his options. Emily, unfortunately, through yours, it was a little bit more sparse. Of course, you were looking for this summer, which is three, four months away. What advice would you give people for timing, when they should be booking, especially for premium cabin to Italy, which is a popular Winter Olympic and summer destination?
Yes. I mean, I was definitely looking sparse when I was looking for this summer. I mean, I still found options that would be more than fine for two people, definitely requiring a layover or repositioning. But if you're traveling during peak season, if you are traveling with a family, more than two people, you're definitely going to want to be paying attention when award availability gets released, 11-ish months in advance. But that's not to say that things don't drop closer to the time period. You just might be spending more time hunting for your award flights than you would otherwise. But because of the strategy that Matt talks about all the time, it's just get across the ocean. So you have so many places you can kind of take a look. And you've heard about some unique ones here today that maybe weren't on your radar. So it's still doable, even if you're, searching in February for August.
Yeah. I think probably the hardest thing with premium cabin business class to Italy that came up from a number of these options is the taxes and fees. Other than Emirates, they're not egregious, but they're just at that point to be annoying, to be why are you doing this to me? Just give me my discounted flight with a little bit more discount. Stop trying to squeeze every penny out of me, because $400 or $500 in taxes and fees for a round trip, it's not exciting, right? If it was $100, $200, that's okay. But it's just at that point where it's not like Emirates where people are writing it off and saying, I'm not going to pay that.
Yeah.
But it's still more than what you really want it to be with with award tickets. And of course, like Matt highlighted some programs that are pretty good. United can be pretty good through theirs as well. Like you said, Avianca, some of those Alaska options were pretty reasonable. 36 mm-hmm. on Royal Air Maroc, 26 through Copenhagen with Virgin Miles. So like there definitely are options to save on the taxes and fees, but it is going to narrow your pool and your options that you can book.
One thing to sort of along that line to kind of consider is with booking with Aeroplan. I don't know if they do this for partners or just Air Canada operated flights. I'd have to confirm, but you can essentially pay more points to offset essentially the taxes and fees. So if a flight's listed for 70,000 points plus $120 Canadian dollars in the taxes and fees, they a lot of times will give you an option to pay like 85,000 or 90,000 points and $0 in taxes and fees. So if I'm not necessarily saying this is a great like cents per point redemption. I haven't actually done the math, but on the surface, it doesn't seem to be that great, but it could be. But if literally just looking at saving money versus maximizing your points, that can be a good mm-hmm. option to have too. I'm unaware, at least off the cuff, of any other programs that offer that sort of sliding option. I think British Airways does too, but I might be making that up. But yeah, just kind of a good way of like, if you want to save dollars and just use more points, especially because like Aeroplan's often has transfer bonuses. So if you've got a 20 or 30,000 percent transfer bonus, you know, it's less painful if you pay with more points to keep more Benjamins in your bank account.
Yeah.
Ooh, Benjamins in your bank account.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, kind of in the same light, if you're looking at Air Canada versus United, you could pay like 80,000 points per person on United and less taxes and fees versus going through Aeroplan. So there's different ways to try and avoid the extra cost. Just depends on how much you value your points versus cash. Benjamin's in your bank account.
Yeah, there we go. Throw it on a t-shirt. To answer your earlier question, Travis, circling back, the Park Hyatt Marrakesh is a Cat 7, and we booked for 30K and 35K. We got a couple off-peak nights, so real good deal. Yeah.
Nice.
Nice. Has nothing to do with Italy, but just thought I'd correct myself since I said it was a Cat 8.
Well, we'll have to do a recap of that one when you get back.
Perfect.
Yeah, I'm trying not to open any more tabs. I already have too many open from this episode, and now when I open one, everyone stops moving and I'm like a 5-second lag behind, which is fine if y'all are talking and I have the time to catch up. So I'm just going to write down Park Hyatt Marrakesh and I'll look that one up later.
Nice.
So that way it doesn't slow down. Yeah. You know, one of the options that I want to call out as well that we didn't mention in why is British Airways. Matt, you just mentioned, BA, and while they tend to have pretty
tons of availability.
Good availability, your taxes and fees round trip are going to be over $1,000 in business class, unless you find one of their like tax saver options, which I have booked before, but that just brings it back down to like the $400
or so, like that.
Yeah, so it's still not great, but again, like if you have the Benjamins in your bank account and it's that or don't go, that can be an option as well. Like you're almost always going to find some British Airways availability between some US city and London to get yourself to Europe. It's virtually inevitable, but you are going to pay a little bit more in the taxes and fees, and you're just going to be annoyed because it's like, if you can offer me options that have less taxes and fees, then why are you charging me as much as you are on all of the tickets?
They need the Benjamins in their bank.
Yeah, account, for real. For real.
Any other mistakes you see people making, any other pitfalls that people make or tips to potentially avoid whenever you're looking to book business class to Italy?
I have a very nuanced nugget that I knew about, but I kind of forgot about until I was booking this Marrakesh flight. So we're like routing through Montreal for now. I'm hoping space will open up from DC. There was one seat, but waiting for a second one, so we'll see. And so just on a whim, I was looking at cash prices just to see like, you know, hey, how does the portal compare? I completely forget that starting in Montreal for cash flights and premium cabins can be such a game changer. If you fly, like I was flying from Greensboro to Newark to Casablanca in I looked up the cash flight and it was like $11,000 per ticket, you know, and, you know, insane, but like
yeah.
what we would expect. If you do Montreal to Newark to Casablanca, it's $1,300 a person in business class in the Sun United. And I remember seeing this Whoa. Before about like literally starting in Montreal and cash tickets can be a, like a gateway to super cheap cash fares. I don't know why, but if you're in that area or you want to reposition to Montreal, look at a cash fare and see what it'll pull up in the portal. Not making any promises, but I looked over a number of dates and they were all in the like $1,300 range for a one-way business class ticket in cash. So you can pull that up in a portal.
Yeah.
Could be a killer option. Mm-hmm. So if you want to dive deep into some nuggets, that's yeah. one that could be an option.
Yeah, that's an almost 4-hour repositioning flight for me.
Yeah, I wouldn't like that's, go crazy.
It's not
for
that
it,
bad for me. I think it's like two hours
from Denver.
Two and a half.
I mean, I would think more. How far is New York?
3.5.
I would kind of think it would be more along those lines, but maybe not. I don't know.
Maybe I'm wrong. I was looking at flights there recently because I'm going to a bachelor party.
3 hours and 42 minutes mm. is what it's blocked for. So,
That's longer than Houston, which is blocked for 3 hours and 40 minutes.
Hmm. Okay.
Wow.
Well, that's not it's what I there. Remembered. Yeah. I'm going to just tell myself it's 2.5 hours.
Yeah. One thing, I had this thought earlier and didn't open a tab or write it down, but I remembered now, you know, on the Aeroplan option that Matt mentioned also, like, side note, I love that idea of like 1300 because that's going to be like less than 100,000, right around 100,000.
Yeah, one way. And you earn points on it.
Yeah. So that can be pretty compelling. Like, yeah, you're paying a little bit more points and you're not getting those flexible points, but can be a really nice way to make it work if you don't have other options. The other thing I wanted to call out is just it's not a pitfall, it's just a caution, is on that Aeroplan, if you do choose to use more points to cover the taxes and fees, and then you don't pay anything, you aren't necessarily paying those taxes and fees with a credit card that has your travel protections. So it's just another small thing to factor in and keep in mind. Of course, your cost savings on paying for in travel insurance versus high taxes and fees is probably more favorable, but it's just something to be aware of if you're default used to relying on the travel insurance that comes with your credit card when you're paying those taxes and fees on award tickets.
Yeah, good call.
All right. Well, hopefully out of, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 options on our outline, and then however many extra ones we threw in. Like, obviously, these are not every way to get to Italy in business class. These are just some of the highlights, some of the good values.
Get you thinking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, get you thinking. Some of the good values, like taking that work out of it, so that way you're not looking through 40 plus to potentially 100 route options to get to Europe, and then reposition within Europe, but to help target your search and help you know where some good places to start looking are to find that availability. And that's like what the points and miles journey is about, right? I've used this analogy with people a lot, and I don't know if it makes sense to people, but it does to me, of like when you're looking at building those point redemption skills, it's like a puzzle, right? Like, you start with the outline, but it takes a number of pieces before you actually start really seeing the full picture coming to life. And that's kind of the takeaway here, right? This is not the comprehensive everything you need to know, but it's some of those most valuable pieces if you're looking for business class to Italy, and quite frankly, like, can be pretty cross-applicable to Central Europe in general. It's giving you those starting pieces of that puzzle, so that way you're not looking blindly, but instead you're looking with some of the picture in mind already and just removing some of that noise. Of course, if you're an expert, you probably have like 7 puzzles of points done already. But for those of you that are new, like, like we said, this isn't comprehensive. This is guiding you in that way to build and develop the awareness of a variety of programs, myself included. I didn't even think about Royal Air Maroc before. So think if there's anything to take away, even if you're not looking to go to Italy in business class, like these are learning nuggets. So that way, next time you are thinking about going to Europe in general, maybe something will stick and you'll be like, hey, let me find that Ethiopian flight.
Yeah.
So whether your heart is set on sipping espresso in Milan, which sounds absolutely lovely. Although, like, to be fair, like, Italian espresso sometimes is kind of meh.
Shots fired.
Okay.
Shots fired. It's like, I know that that's where it's invented, but it's like not quite the same art as it's become in places like the US or Australia. It's more the traditional method. So yes, shots fired for Milan. Sorry. But whether you're looking for that or walking the cobblestones in Rome, this is your roadmap to do it without paying that business class cash. Man, that is a tongue twister.
Just gotta save the Benjamins.
So remember to just think flexibly, book smart, and use the tools that help you spot that space. If you enjoyed today's episode, head over to our Facebook group, tell us, or our YouTube in the comments below. We would all love if you would like, subscribe, leave us a rating, especially if that rating is 5 stars. You know, well, we might take 4 as well, but five is certainly preferred. But I'll stop pandering for 5-star ratings now. But let us know, is there anything we missed? Anything that you think is valuable nuggets to add to someone else's puzzle that you would like to have seen us covered? Are there other destinations that you would like for us to cover with this? Let us know in the comments and the feedback, whether that's, like I said, Facebook, YouTube, or if you're seeing this as a clip on Instagram or wherever. So the point of all of this is to educate you, to help you redeem your points to go and travel. That's why we do this. That's why you're doing this, is to get some travel. So hopefully this will help you, especially if you're looking for that business class to Italy. So until next time, keep your seat flat. Mine's not right now. It's upright. It does go back pretty far, though. Keep those Aperol spritzes cold, which there are some great ones in the Lake Como area. So,
I'm sure.
Yeah. Bringing it full circle there.
All right.
So for all of us at Takeoff, thank you, and we'll catch you next time.
Bye.